Ray Manzarek just told us some stories about Jim Morrison's destructive behavior. So how did the head of the record company feel about that? We asked Jack Holtzman, the founder of the Doors record company, Elektra Records. Terry spoke with Holtzman in 1998, after the publication of his book about Elektra called Follow the Music. Elektra started out as a folk and ethnic music label and first made its mark with such performers as Gene Ritchie, Theodore Bickel, Judy Collins, Tom Paxton, and Phil Oakes. Elektra's first big hit was the Doors single, Light My Fire. What attracted a folk and classical music fan like Jack Holtzman to the Doors? Well, one thing was their version of the Brecht Weil song, Whiskey Bar.
Well, show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. For if we don't find the next whiskey bar, I tell you we must die. I tell you we must die. I tell you, I tell you, I tell you.
Jack Holtzman about the difficulties he faced working with Jim Morrison, who was talented, commercially successful, but often out of control.
From our standpoint, the difficulties in Jim's life and the way he expressed them were nothing as compared to the magic of the recordings. It was more than Light My Fire. The first Doors album was as close to a perfect album as I've ever been involved with. That album really pushed the envelope, and I was just so thrilled to be associated with it. And if there was a price to pay, that was okay with me. I had dealt with some outrageous artists before who had problems, and artists afterwards who had problems. And I found it best to keep my distance, because I am the person who runs their record company, and I am the surrogate for the audience. And it's my job to make sure that things keep moving and that the artists are given the very best possible circumstances in which to record. And these are the issues that you have to deal with.
So you try to keep your distance in part so you could remain kind of the authority figure and not get too close with anyone.
Well, it makes it difficult if at some point you have to take a stand on something and you've been hanging out with them all the time. It erodes the special relationship that you have with them. And I think that the Doors appreciated that. I know Jim did. Before he went to Paris, he wanted to have sort of a farewell drinking session with me. Well, I'm smart enough not to have more than two with Jim Morrison, because Jim's big enemy was alcohol. And he could be a prince. You could take him anywhere, but pour a few drinks into Jim, and he would go from Dr. Jekyll to Mr. Hyde, and it was a real problem. So I would never try to match him drink for drink. But I remember this evening so vividly, because we're sitting in this bar, and we've each had our second drink, and Jim begins to taunt me, "Jack, you got to go more out on the edge." And I responded, "Jim, it's great being on the edge. The trick is not to bleed." And he sort of paused for a moment, and then we talked about movies.
Your record company, Elektra, was coordinating the Doors tours and club dates. How would you deal with it if club owners got scared by Morrison's behavior and they wanted to cancel a date?
That never really happened until after the Miami incident.
When he was accused of exposing himself on stage.
That's correct.
And then what happened?
Well, what happened then was that a decency movement began in Florida. And there was a move among concert promoters to cancel Doors dates. And Doors dates were being canceled all over the country. And the Doors were in a major funk over this, as well you might imagine they would be. We just kept our cool. And we kept doing what we were supposed to do, be responsible for their records and supporting the boys wherever we could.
As the head of the record company, did you ever think, oh, well, maybe I should sit down with Jim Morrison and either try to discipline him or have a little talk with him about controlling himself more?
I thought that was better left to Ray Manzarek and the other members of the group. My function is not to discipline artists. My purpose is to be the midwife to their music, to support them, to help them in what they want to do creatively. If an artist asks me for an opinion, they know they'll always get an honest one. But I didn't think it was my place to get involved in what was essentially an internal group problem. I had seen this before. I had had other artists who had problems, and I always let the groups handle them.
Now, why did you decide to sign the Doors? What appealed to you about their music?
I went to see another group called Love, who was on Elektra. And Arthur Lee, who was the essential linchpin of that group, said, stick around for the other group that's on the bottom of the bill. And I did. And I wasn't really very impressed. But there was something about the group that kept bringing me back, and was only later that I figured out what it was. It was a kind of austerity in their musical line. If I were to compare the Doors to architecture, I would say that they were the Bauhaus of 60s rock and roll. And I think that cleanliness of line and the expressive lyrics and the sheer beautiful simplicity of it is what has made the group last for over 30 years.
You were kind of unprepared for the incredible success that their first record had, and you had to call the pressing plants to get more records made very quickly because there was a big demand for them. What impact did that have on the company to have this big, sudden demand?
It was fantastic because suddenly, after having struggled for 17 years with folk albums and singer-songwriters that had found increasing popularity, I was now riding the tiger, and the company was catapulted into a leading position. People were bringing artists to us. We got a first crack at things, and the logistics of pressing the records was left to my brother Keith, and we had relationships with pressing plants over the country, and we were able to get everything manufactured that we needed. But the important thing was that we were able to attract other artists because we had moved up one order of magnitude, I guess, on the scale of record companies. It was heady stuff.
When you found out about Jim Morrison's death, what responsibilities did you have? Did you have to take care of his personal effects or anything like that?
No. What I had to take care of first was my own emotion. Jim had been so special to me, and the band was phenomenal. And they had played such a vital and pivotal role in the growth of Elektra. Jim had been kind to me and my family. He would remember my son Adam's birthday and bring him a musical instrument and spend time with him. So I had to deal with that. But I also realized that I had to deal with what I thought was going to be a media circus. And indeed, it had been for Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin. But I was lucky. I had 2 days to prepare. I knew about it on a Monday, and it wasn't public knowledge until Wednesday evening. So I sent my number two man, Bill Harvey, out to the West Coast. We had press releases prepared. We told the staff at the appropriate time. We had to tell Paul Rothchild, who had been their producer for all of the albums except the final one, L.A. Woman. And we got all of that stuff done. So when the phone call started coming and people wanted the radio interviews, we had determined that we were going to let the Doors do most of the talking, the Doors and Pam, and we would speak only about what their music meant to us and to their fans.
Jack Holtzman is the founder of Elektra Records. Terry spoke with him in 1998 after the publication of his book, Follow the Music. Let's listen to another track from the Doors' first album.
You know the day destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide, break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side, yeah. We chased our pleasures here, dug our treasures there. But can't we still recall the time we cried? Break on through!
This is Fresh Air.